Today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to depart from the book of Acts today, and we're going to have a guest speaker come forward. And the reason being is this time of the year, I always get a lot of questions about Halloween. And I get some people say, why don't we have a harvest festival here to give out candy to the kids? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And so there's a lot of questions for families, especially during Halloween, about the do's and the don'ts. And so I've asked Pastor Dave to come up and share with us a message today concerning that, because of he'll share some of his testimony, his background, and some of his insights basically into the spiritual realm. And so Pastor Dave, come on up. You know, the first service he thought he was going to come up and say that, you know, I was going to introduce Billy Graham or something. You know? And I remember the story about, you know, one time Billy Graham got into a limousine and his driver was there, and Billy Graham said, you know what, I'd really like to drive today. Can you get in the back and let me drive? And so that guy said, well, sure, if you want to. And so he went a little fast and this police officer pulled him over. And as the police officer pulled him over, he went up and he seen it was Billy Graham, and he called into his commander. He said, what should I do? What should I do? He says, you know, I got him in, he's driving, you know. And the guy said, well, who's his passenger? He said, well, I don't know. If Billy Graham's driving, it must be Jesus.
That's good. Thanks.
It's all yours now.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. every time I hear it, I love that one. Well, good morning. Let me just set up really quick. All right. Well, most of you, I'm pretty sure, know that I'm a gypsy. And if not, I'm a gypsy. What a gypsy is, in my language, you would call them Rom, or the Romania, or Roma. You would pronounce it Roma. Growing up, being a gypsy means that you grow up in some form of the occult. Of course, we told fortunes, we did spells, I told one, my family members told some. My background in the spirit realm is being delivered by demons, hearing and seeing both angels and demons, and the Lord in His mercy visiting me for reasons I need it. And again, I don't tell you all of this to let you guys think that I'm more spiritual or better than anyone here. If anything, the only special, and how special I am, is that I was specially messed up and the Lord needed to deliver me in so many different ways from the past and things that I led on to myself. I'm going to go a little bit more in my testimony later on, but our topic for debate today is, and it is sort of a debate, is can or should Christians practice Halloween or participate in Halloween? Obviously, it's not the ordinary one because I'm the only person here. I'm the moderator and the speaker for these people who are going to debate this. There are two opposing sides. One is for Christians celebrating Halloween and the other is against. And the one against has seven reasons why Christians can celebrate Halloween. That's Alan Rudnick, and you can go to his site, alanrudnick.com. The second speaker, or not really speaker, just a picture of him, is J. Kirby Anderson. He's the president of Probe Ministries. He's also an author and speaker, and he has a whole bunch of degrees. That's second smart man. They're just both smart men. But before we get into that and our unusual debate, I want us to look at about a two-minute synopsis of the history of Halloween.
When most people think of Halloween, they think of trick-or-treating, parades, bobbing for apples, and other family-friendly activities. But bet you didn't know the true story behind the ancient origins of Halloween. It all goes back some 2,000 years to the ancient Celtic festival known as Samhain, celebrated on November 1st. On the night before Samhain, people believed that the dead returned as ghosts. They would leave food and wine on their doorsteps to keep roaming spirits at bay and wear masks when they left the house so they would be mistaken for fellow ghosts. The Christian church turned Samhain into All Saints' Day, or All Hallows, in the 8th century. The night before became All Hallows' Eve, later shortened to Halloween. You've heard of trick-or-treating on Halloween, but what about souling or guising? All three of these traditions originated in medieval Britain. On All Souls Day, November 2nd, the needy would beg for pastries known as soul cakes. In return, they would pray for people's dead relatives. This was called souling. In the medieval Halloween tradition of guising, young people would dress up in costume and accept food, wine, money, and other offerings in exchange for singing, reciting poetry, or telling jokes. In 19th century America, Irish and Scottish immigrants revived these old traditions. The result was trick-or-treating. At first, it was much more about the tricks, in the form of pranks and hijinks, than the treats. It wasn't until the 1950s that the custom took on its current family-friendly, kid-centered form. Today, Halloween is big business, with U.S. consumers spending more than $2.5 billion on costumes annually. Add in the candy, and it's estimated that Americans spend up to $6 billion on Halloween each year, making it the second most commercial holiday after Christmas. So whether you're a fan of tricks, treats, or trivia, there's a bit of Halloween history.
We bet you didn't know!
I don't like cats, but I don't know what it is about that one that I really like. That's an interesting one. Is that me? All right, so we're going to get into our debate right now. And when you look at that video, I'm not a proponent for the History Channel when it comes to issues pertaining the gospel and Jesus Christ. But when it has to do with Halloween, they're pretty spot on. I'll give a little bit more detail about Halloween later on. But we're going to go into our debate. Our first debater is Alan Rudnick. And of course, he's the pastor. He gives you seven reasons why Christians can celebrate Halloween. This article was posted October 28, 2010, but it's continuing because people still comment on that, and he still holds this point of view. You can go to his website, alanrudnick.org, to see the full seven, because I'm not going to do the full 7 and 10 for time constraints. I'm only going to take the top three, or which I believe are the top three. If you'd like to go on these websites again, you can come and see me, and I'll give you the information afterwards. His first reason is why Christians can celebrate Halloween. His first one is, the establishment of Christmas and Easter in Europe had pagan connections, but we do not abandon these holidays. Neither should we abandon All Hallows' Eve. And he is correct. If you look at Christmas and Easter, they have pagan backgrounds in the sense whereby they were replaced, and they were replaced with pagan holidays. They put them in certain categories, like the 25th isn't Jesus' birthday, but we celebrate it. All Hallows' Eve was started by the Catholic Church. In essence, hollow means holy, and it was to honor the saints, what that was about. And the second reason he gives, well, actually, I was getting ahead of myself. I want to put a comment on his website that a person posted on there, and they say, what does a bunny rabbit, eggs, baskets, pretty clothes all have to do with Jesus or Christmas? What do trees inside a house and Santa, reindeer and elves, or mistletoe or wreaths or lots of presents and tons of food and shopping till we drop have to do with Jesus? What does graveyard, skeletons, ghosts, magic, black or tombs, I think there was a typo here, witches have to do with Jesus? And in essence, nothing. This person's frozen the viewpoint has nothing to do with it, just celebrate it anyway, it's okay, go for it. And in that perspective, she is right. The second one is, evil themes in our current secular Halloween observances were not always present, thus we can recapture the spiritual with the innocent. And of course, he's explaining Hallows' Eve, again, All Saints' Day, that we can recapture spiritual with the innocent. But if it's making you feel uneasy, well, you should, of course, check your spirit if it doesn't sound right. But this is what he's saying. Another person, Kelsa, commented on his website, this has put my mind to rest. I never allowed my own two sons to celebrate Halloween, thinking it to be of evil origins. However, my granddaughter, who is 3 years old, as she's at the age where she wants to celebrate with her cousins and friends. I know that God sees what is in our hearts and knows our intentions to be true and would not want to spoil the fun of our little ones. And that's true when you think about that. Would God want us to destroy the fun of our little ones? Well, the Bible says the heart is a deceitful thing and my children are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. Not everything that is fun is worth it. And the last reason I've placed up here is, oh, let me get it up there too. If you still think Halloween is an evil day, then maybe you should see All Hallows' Eve as a time when Christians can laugh and mock evil. Now again, if you've never had any experience with demons or anything like that, I'll tell you right now, you don't want to mock evil. It's something that's dangerous. Sebastian commented and said, when I'm guising or ghosting in a ghoulish costume, I'm not worshiping the dead. I'm actually mocking irrational fears while having an excuse to have fun with my friends. It's similar to why societies who feared leopards painted their skins with leopard paint, or why societies who feared wolves disguised themselves as wolves. And that happened, like, I guess 2,000 years ago. I know I'm not supposed to be biased on this, but I have to bring in Jude 1. And it says, Jude 1, verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Now, when you look at heaven, and again, the earth is a typecast and shadow of what goes on in heaven. You look at the courtroom of God. He is the high priest. He is the true judge. And you see he gave audience to Satan. He allowed Satan to make his argument. He said, all right, Satan, go ahead and make your argument, and I'll hear it. And then you hear Michael on the other side. Michael himself did not even say, you know what, Satan? You're no good. Ha ha ha, you're dead already. It's already written. You're going to burn in hell forever. You're no good. You're just a stinker. And he never mocked evil. And instead, he said, the Lord will rebuke you. He said, I know my God will pass judgment upon you and not allow you to do things that are wrong. He put it in God's hand, even though he made his statement. See, there's a court system up there. Demons, the devil still goes up there. He's the accuser of the brethren. And that's what the Bible says. So those are the three reasons he gives why Christians should practice or can practice Halloween, because we can mock it. He goes back and says, today's Halloween observance, we should try recapturing the spiritualism in there and practice All Hallows' Eve. Let's thank our guest. Thank you very much for your opinion. Again, I got it from his website. You're clapping. All right, we're going to go to our second guest who gives 10 reasons why we shouldn't practice Halloween, but again, I narrowed it down to three reasons. There he is, Kirby Anderson, again, the president of Probe Ministries, the author and speaker. And you could look at the 10 reasons, probe.org. His first reason is, Halloween today is performed usually by adherents of witchcraft who use the night for their rituals. Witches celebrate Halloween as the festival of Samhain. That's the way you pronounce that. The first feast of the witchcraft year. Being a festival of the dead, Halloween is a time when witches attempt to communicate with the dead through various forms of divination. Divination is just divining, and in essence, the way you do that is that you would open your mind. In essence, you'd free your spirit. You know there's a lot of meditation and chanting. That's another way you can do that. Buddhism is high on that. You know, you use the certain words, they continue to speak the same chanting over and over again. That's what you do. You open up your mind. You can take sort of psychotropic drugs like LSD, PCP, and acid. I think that's in there. But acid is one that you can use to really see into the spirit realm. That will really open your mind and your doors where you'll see these things happening. The number two reason that he gives is participating in Halloween gives sanction to a holiday that promotes witches, divination, haunted houses, and other occultic practices. I think you know that you just have to step outside your door and you see it. Everywhere you go, you see witches, bats, whatever it is. I went to visit Risa, and as soon as I got out of the door, there was, in essence, an altar to death, witchcraft, and all that. Because you'd see the decorations, spider webs, some witches' hats, I think, pumpkins with scary faces, and so on. And without us knowing it, it's basically paying homage to that. And the final one is, public schools in the USA are removing any religious significance from Christmas, often calling winter break or the fifth of season, and Easter, spring break, Isn't it ironic that those schools in the USA still celebrate Halloween, even though it has occultic origins? And now they're calling it the Harvest Festival again. You look at what All Hallows Eve was before that, Samhain was a harvest festival. It shouldn't be a shocker because we know the world's system is still owned by Satan. We know that he wants to corrupt the children, corrupt his people in any way necessary. And that's why it's still allowed, because there are little seeds planted in people to affect them later on in their walk with Christ. You know, some people can get delivered quickly, like I was with that that one time. Some people, it takes years. Ever wonder sometimes as a Christian, they may have depression that can't go away, anger issues, low self-esteem, any number of those. That can be one of the sources, because they were still dealing with things we have not dealt with right now, things that are in our lives that have not been, that the Lord has not delivered us from fully because we haven't given the opportunity. In that, I want to go a little bit into Samhain. So Samhain, of course, goes back to the Celts 2,000 years ago. Samhain, the word is meaning summer's end. They believe that the summer ended October 31st and the new year began on November 1st. That's when winter started for them. Of course, it was really cold in those areas as well. On November 31st, families would come together and do like a fall cleaning to make way for the new October. At sunset, October 31st, the people would gather together for the formal ceremonies of Samhain. They would come together and light a huge bonfire. They would sacrifice their crops and animals to the gods and goddesses of the Celts, and they have many gods. They would give thanks during that celebration, and they would wear costumes, they would dance, tell stories, and play out the cycle of life and death. And there are three primary reasons for them to do that: wearing the costume, dancing, telling stories, and playing out the cycle of life. The first one was to honor, of course, the dead who are allowed to rise from the other world, the outer world or spirit realm. Celtics believe that the souls were released from the land of the dead on Samhain Eve. Those who have been trapped in the bodies of animals is what they believe. They were released by the Lord of the Dead. Again, you may look at some sites and they say that Samhain means Lord of the Dead. It doesn't mean that. It is summer's end, but the Lord of the Dead has a different title in Celtic, in the Celtic mythology, and their gods, which was actually demons. And they would send them in new incarnations. They would be transformed into a different incarnation, I guess, or a different being. They would wear the costumes. They would signify the release of those souls into the physical world. So they would come out of the bodies of the animals. They'd be released into the physical realm, probably into another body or into another baby, they would believe, because they believed in reincarnation. Not all souls were honored or respected. They were feared, of course. They would come to the physical world and they would destroy crops. They would hide livestock. They would haunt the living who might have did something wrong to them. And it sounds strange here that they're saying, what do you mean hide livestock? Do you grab them, you know, and put them into a corner or something? Demons can pick up animals. Demons can pick you up. They can hurt you. They can scratch you. They can beat you. They can cause you a state where you can't move. I've been in certain situations where they've kept me down. There's also a thing that has to do with REM sleep, I think it was, where your mind sleeps, or your mind is up, but your body's stuck. Okay, I didn't have one of those. I knew it was a demon because they were holding me down and they were laughing at me and mocking me. So yes, they can do all these things, throw things away, smash things, hurt your animals, hurt you in so many different forms. Okay, and the second reason was the costume. And the final reason, I'm sorry, the second reason was for the costumes was to hide from the spirits who escape, so they can escape their trickery, in essence, so they won't mess with them. But we all know that the demons saw through them. They were keeping him in a state of slavery. That's the whole point of all this, to keep you in a state of slavery, blindness back then, so you won't find out who the true God is. And the final one, of course, is to honor the gods, their gods and goddesses, the Celtic gods, for the harvest, the flocks, and ask for favor and protection in the harsh winter months to come. It was still believed, that it is still believed and practiced during that time, the veil between the physical and the spiritual realm gives extra energy or is torn so you can communicate with the dead. The living can communicate with the dead. Of course, we know that if you've ever practiced any form of witchcraft in any way or Satanism, you can communicate any day. But there is so much demonic influence on Halloween. There is more activity where you can sense the presence of a spirit or a demon if the Lord has given you the gift of discernment. And he gives us each a certain amount of gift of discernment in that. But that's when they do it. Even back then, the Druid priests, which I'll get into in a little bit, and the Celtic shaman would attempt to tell fortunes of individuals in different methods. And some of them were throwing bones. They would cast a Celtic ogham, which is basically their alphabet. It was written on some stones. They would throw it on the ground, and it would say, jump on one leg. Oh, I guess the spirits want us to jump on one leg. Whatever the case may be. And of course, there was times when they would say certain things, and it was true, just like the Ouija board today. Ouija board is true. The Ouija board can contact the dead. When I was a child, I remember once I wanted to touch a Ouija board, but this dog, every time I would go to touch it, the dog would try to bite me. For whatever reason, he'd let other people. It was just the Lord's hand on me. He knew I had enough demons in me already that he just didn't want to take the time to cast another one out. But they're real, and you can contact the dead through that in various other forms. Okay, so they also use tea leaves, rocks, and spiritual communication. Again, it's channeling. Open your mind and say, all right, spirit, come into me, use me as your vessel. When the celebrations were over, they would take the sacred torch fire to their houses. They would light a fire that had to stay burned day and night for several months because they believed if they didn't keep these torches lit or these candles lit, tragedy and torment and other stuff would befall them. And it's interesting when I see these things. We know that Satan is a mimicker, and you see that a torch and a candle has to be lit day and night. It reminds me of the temple of the Lord. He's always trying to copy what the Lord does to deceive us, even back then. Excuse me. And the last one you've heard about, families would place food and drink outside so the spirits or the roaming spirits, which are demons, wouldn't bother them. And in that, during the time of the Roman Empire, the Romans conquered most of the Celtic territory. In AD 43, they ruled approximately for 400 years, and they incorporated a couple of those traditions or pagan holidays with the holidays that the Roman Catholics did. One was, and this is a difficult one to pronounce, Furlough. It was a day to remember the dead. Traditionally, it was on October or during the winter months. We call it, in the Gypsy world, Slava. We would say Slava. The second one that they incorporated was Pomona. I would call it Pomona, but you would pronounce it like Pomona. We used to do that as well, Pomona. It's a day of, this Pomona was honoring the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. Hence, that's where you get the bobbing of apples, because that was her sign, the apple. And a little bit of how we celebrated it was that we would take those two, we would change it. The celebration of the dead, we turned it into a pomana. And now let's say if a relative died, we would give about a month or so, and then we'd make a large feast for them in a banquet hall. We would take all types of fruit, put them on the tables. We would have pigs and lambs. And a dream would come to someone, obviously from a spirit, and saying, all right, the dead person came to them and said, you will be wearing the suit and you'll be representing me. So you take the head of the table and you represent me. And then they would go around with incense and they would say, I'm trying to say it in English, this is for this person who died, in honor of him, in honor of this person. It's funny, back in the 80s, I think it was, or early 90s, a person took a picture of this and it came out actually showing some demonic spirits in that. When we understand that the electromagnetic spectrum, which sounds strange, it's science, but it's light. Light has different waves and it goes into different realms in essence. So they can also penetrate a lot of things we don't see. So it picked up a couple of demons, you know, and in essence, we already knew that. We weren't too aware of it, but it affected us as we grew. It affected our Christian walk. That's why when Christ came into our lives, there's still certain times that, oh, a demon's coming out. You know what I mean? What's going on here? Yes, the Lord is with us, but he's still continuing to transform us into his image and his ways. The second was the slava. The slava is we would have visions from either dreams of Mary or, let's say, Joseph, of any one of the other saints, and they would tell us, I want you to do a party for me. Honor me. And we'd be like, okay, do you really want me to? Give me that vision again. Vision would come, we'd make a party for them, and again, we'd honor them. Of course, we're honoring demons. Going back to the Druids, they were the hierarchy, you would say they were the priests. They were the wise people. It's an Irish Gaelic word meaning oak tree, which was a symbol of knowledge and wisdom. They were concerned with the natural world and its powers. They saw trees as sacred, especially the oak tree. They were, of course, many historians believe and know that the Druids participated in ritual killings, as many of their contemporary societies did the same. Ritual killing was part of every society back in the day. Obviously, the Druids don't do it today. Most of the writings from the Druids comes from Julius Caesar, who took part of conquering that. So you can look at that also in the history books. You can get a lot of information from the website. You just have to do your due diligence and do something like a Bible study, you know, referencing. If it says it here, go around and you'll find it. And with that, again, that's the last of it. I wanted to put in another comment that this gentleman wrote. His name was Gary. He posted on one of the websites. And he says, the only argument I've heard from supporters of Halloween is that it is fun. We get to have candy and that Christians are just too serious. Well, as a Christian, shouldn't I be serious about what I believe in? And isn't there 364 other days out of the year to have fun and eat candy? Why does it have to be limited to October 31st? I guess most Christians are willing to sacrifice their spiritual well-being for a little fun. Life is not all about fun and candy. As a parent, there are so many other parenting issues that are so much more important that whether or not my kids are having fun on one day out of the year, who cares if the other kids are doing it? Does it mean your kids have to do it? Who cares if society is doing it? It doesn't mean that we have to participate either. When you look at the pros and cons, the only pros you have are fun, candy, and pumpkins and dressing up. None of these are life essentials. The cons, on the other hand, are many. The possibility of occult activity, demonic activity, and disobedience to scripture that tell us to abhor that which is evil. I don't see why we take the chance when the only thing we have to gain is fun and candy. How are those legitimate arguments? The consequences may not seem that bad now, but it only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. Eventually, one small act of disobedience will lead to a life of total compromise and slavery to sin. This is Anton LaVey. He's the founder of the Satanic Church in San Francisco, and he says, I'm glad that Christians let their kids worship Satan at least once, one day each year. I know that the Christian church drives on hypocrisy and that man's carnal nature will win out in the end. And it's sad that some of the things that he says is true. Again, my children are destroyed by a lack of knowledge, and that's the thing. I'm going to go a little bit into my testimony. Growing up, again, you're introduced into that, and you don't see the seeds of demonic oppression coming into you. Even as a child, I remember seeing things. You know, we would all grow up seeing demons. You know, we would hear them at times because it was part of us. Our mother would have to give us either holy crosses or pendulums or a bag filled with incense that has a saint's picture on there to protect us from the demons. But all that is another demon protecting you from another demon. That's all it is. Demons have hierarchies as well. Some are stronger than others, and they will protect you. And let me tell you something. If you lose that, oh, what hit me? What threw me around? That's the whole point of that. They keep you in subjugation. They keep you in torment and in fear. That's the point. Well, going back to my deliverance, what I see in Halloween. When I was delivered, I heard my brothers and sisters screaming. They were getting delivered. They were Christians. They were upstairs screaming and yelling. And I was like, I ain't having no part of that. I ain't going to do it. I ain't gone to God. Forget it. You know? No, Lord, I can't do it. And I knew in me the Lord was saying, come on, you can do it. Don't worry about it. I said, no, Lord, I won't. But my brother came down one day, and he decided to pray with me. And we were talking and praying. It was about 10 or 11 at night. So he did, and I bowed my head, and the spirit came right out of me, and it was a beautiful experience. Strange to say, but it was. It came out in my form, and I felt it lift up, and as it came out, I felt the Holy Spirit come in. I felt born again, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. He started leading me, because I was basically a babe in Christ. When I think about that, and it was beautiful, because like the Lord says in the book of Matthew that some spirits come out by prayer and fasting. This was one of those spirits that came out by prayer. With that, I felt great and all that. Everything was great. I was praising the Lord. All right, time to go to bed. Every time I'd close my eyes, a white witch's face screaming at the top of her lungs with the deepest, darkest black eyes that I felt like it wanted to pull me in there was screaming. Every time I closed my eyes, demons were yelling at me from here. They were hitting on the door a little bit, and I was like, what is going on here? I made a big mistake. I shouldn't have anything to do with Jesus, you know? And I was like, oh man, what did I do? I turned on the TV, I was scared. So my sister-in-law comes down and says, David, the Lord told me that the demons are bothering you. So she prayed, rebuked him in the name of Jesus, and they left. Now understand something, that the whole point of demons is to destroy you. We have ministering angels to help us. There are demons who want to destroy you, to make you useless for the gospel, so you won't be set free of the things we've dealt with for so many years. That's their whole point of view. And when we think of that, and there's other stories that I have. You can buy my book for only $95.95 from Demon. No, I'm kidding. I don't have a book. But I'm telling you that one because they want to come back in. Remember what the Lord told us, that when a house is cleansed, the spirit wanders around trying to find rest for its feet, in essence. But then he says he can't find any rest, so he goes, takes other seven spirits worse than himself, comes back to the house, and that state of that house is worse than before. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit more. I felt spirits coming in and out of me before. I knew it. The Lord had to deliver me again. He's like, what is wrong with you? When are you going to learn? All right, come here. The Lord is always with us and trying to change us into His image, and I felt that. It's just the way it goes. You know, a lot of times when people are delivered from spirits, they have more of a sensitivity to the spiritual realm, because if you ever talk to any ex-Satanists, ex-Wiccans, ex-witches, ex-warlocks, which is just a male witch, they'll tell you, and they're actually shocked when Christians participate, even in some of their Halloween festivals. But we think about the debate of, can a Christian have a demon? Well, yes, a Christian can have a demon. Understand there's a difference between oppression and possession. Possession is when you're out of your mind, running around naked, killing people, messing up people, like Jesus had to go and deliver that guy, right? Paul had a demon. Sounds weird, doesn't it? All right, let's find out. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul said, what was given to him by Satan? A buffeter. Because of the amazing revelations that he saw, a buffeter to keep him humble was given to him. Three times he also asked the Lord to take it away from him. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul had a demon assigned to him. That's the difference. And you read it in Scripture, it's clearly there. But he wasn't possessed, he was oppressed. And that was for his own good. He had one. Saul, back in 1 Samuel 16:14, had a demon torment him from the Lord. The Holy Spirit took it. The demon came to him, and he's a textbook schizophrenic paranoia. That's what he was. Now, what some people think in psychology today and psychiatry, they still can't understand multiple personalities. They still can't understand schizophrenia. Back then, he had it. Demons can affect our minds. They can affect chemicals in our brain. It's obvious. It's in the Bible. I think about, I don't know the exact date, but there was textbooks, scientific textbooks in in all these debates like schizophrenia and multiple personalities. They didn't know what it was like 50 years ago, so they would put in it also possible demon possession. It was in the books back in the day, but they took it out, obviously. So there you see two people who had demons or was oppressed by demons. Job was oppressed by the devil, physically and mentally, causing depression. And again, we know Satan went up there. He approaches the throne room of God, And God asked him, hey, where you were, Satan? Just going around there and there. Hey, have you looked at my servant? Now understand, God knew what was going on. This is all for us. This is all for us to take heed and look at this and not to play with certain things. And sometimes things happen into our lives, but the Lord is there. He restored him. Everything was great, and he knew it. Job is another example. Again, Paul, Satan hindered him in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul says, I wanted to come to you, but Satan stopped us. So there's power there, but he's not all-powerful. We know that. One more time again, Michael contended with Satan in the court of heaven in Jude 1, verse 9. There's a court system in there. Yes, there are demons everywhere. Yes, there are angels. They can oppress. They bother you. Not every thought that's in your mind is from you. You know, again, like I said, sometimes anger overcomes you, sometimes fear, sometimes self-loathing, the ability not to open the Bible or whatever it is, hindering spirits, and that's basically what it is. There are demons assigned to Christians, just like there are angels, ministering angels. I have a demon assigned to me. I know it because the Lord revealed it to me. I know what it looks like. I know what it's trying to do to me, how it's trying to hinder my calling in the gospel, hinder my preaching the gospel, hinder the ministry he gave to me. But he always tells us these things, and he gives us a way out in that. I think when you look at the world, first of all, there's the natural laws and the physical laws. You see the natural, the tangible, we touch, and the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is the eternal realm. We know that heaven and earth will pass away, the Lord's word will never pass away, and all things will be new. But sometimes when you look at the world, and even at Christians, I think it's arrogant because we can explain something or the cause of something that we truly understand it and its origins, like a lot of emerging church movements are doing. A lot of it is demon oppression, demon coming in and messing with us. You see many accounts of that in the Bible, Jesus delivering so many people, the deaf and dumb spirit. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different things that can cause. Not everything, again, I just want to point this out, not everything is a demon. There isn't like a demon of burnt fried chicken if you're trying to go and cook it. The devil made me burn the chicken or something like that. No, not everything is a demon, but we are to be wise and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word. And of course, before we all panic and walk out of here and think about, oh, the demons are after me, they're going to get me and all that stuff, what power do I have? Well, we shouldn't panic, because when you read in Luke 10, 17 to 20, the apostles came back and they said, oh, guess what, Lord? Even the demons are subject to you in your name. They're subject to us in your name. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, is what he said. And from now on, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions above all the power of the enemy, to where nothing will hurt you. But he also goes on in saying, but do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. So don't get too cocky thinking that you could go around like you see a lot of overly charismatic churches. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to get out. I came from those too. It doesn't work. Because if the power of the Holy Spirit is not leading you to do that, don't do it. I'll give you another example. My friends and I, years and years ago, we stopped at a 7-Eleven or whatever it was, and we saw this demon-possessed man. He was possessed. They got out, and they started laying hands on him. And I was like, the Holy Spirit said, I didn't send him to go out there. And I was like, well, because it's not working. And he said, I didn't send him. So what does the demon do? He looks up at them and starts laughing. He's mocking them, you know, because the Holy Spirit didn't send them. So if you're not going by the power of Spirit, you're on your own. And you may get a little smack here and there and say, oh man, what happened, Lord? Lord's going to say, you're running before my ark. When you go into battle, you don't run before the ark. You wait for the Lord to tell you what to do. I'm running a little over, but I think that's okay because you guys could hang out for a little bit more, right? All right, good. And yes, I know it is Community Sunday. What does Halloween give us? It gives us the spirit of fear, rebellion, and death. That's what it's all about. It glorifies death in the demonic realm. There's a lot of people out there, like I said, doing it. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. And he is not the God of the dead, but of the God of the living. Mark 12:27. And now I want to go back to Christmas and Easter. Okay? We have a lot of churches that do, what are those called again? Fall festivals. Some churches, and I read this somewhere, they had a zombie run. Now, we're falling into complacency. We're falling into the trap of Satan. He's very subtle. He did it in the Garden of Eden. He made it seem like there's no problem. Eat this fruit, you'll be fine. Go out and do these little things, you'll be okay. A lot of Christians, of course, are dressing up, not understanding that they're partaking and understanding that it's a seed of deception and it's going to cause a problem in your walk with Christ. Christmas and Easter, again. Is it okay to practice Christmas? You have a Christmas tree and all these other things. Well, Christmas was part of our founding. Easter was part of the founding of America, but Halloween was not, as we saw. It was brought in by the immigrants. So we look at a Christmas tree. Christmas tree is a tree. It had pagan origins. They would bring it in to remember the time that there will be sun again. The evergreen represented to them a time that nature will come back up. But again, God can redeem anything. We look at a Christmas tree right now. People decorate with an angel on top, signifying the archangel or an angel that came and said, heralding the coming of the Messiah who is born. Then people dress the Christmas tree up. They put presents under there, and they put a manger scene. It's honoring Christ is what it is all about. Now, if you're uncomfortable with that, I would say just don't do anything. For me, I've never been a person who likes holidays. I look at the Christmas tree as something like a fire. Look at it. It's pretty. You know what I mean? I love it. It smells good. You want to do it? My wife wants to do it. It's fine. That's no problem with me. Easter, the word Easter comes from Eshtar. And yes, that has pagan origins. But you look at Esther, again, she was used by the Lord. What do you remember in that? We remember Christ's victory over the dead. That's what we remember. Yes, there are eggs. It's the sign of the fertility goddess in the Roman Empire and in the Greeks as well. Someone gives me an egg, I'll eat it. I like it. Remember, the Bible says that a statue has no power, but it also says, of course, behind every idol is a demon. We do all things for the weaker person. If it offends a weaker brother, we won't do it. But I enjoy them. I like them. I don't care. Except for the food dye that gets on there. It bothers me. Now, here's another point of view. Here's us going walking with the Lord right now. Hey, Lord, let's go together and sing some Christmas carols to people about you. You know what I mean? We're not going singing, oh, Christmas tree, all that stuff. It's for you. We're going there. And we say, all right, Jesus, let's sing together. And you can feel good about it. Jesus is singing about himself. We're singing about him. We're walking with him. We're telling people about how he was born. Now we're going for Easter. Let's go tell people about your resurrection. Imagine Jesus with you going around. Do you feel any problem with that? No, it feels good. You're happy that he's with you. Now let's go, Jesus, and celebrate Halloween. You and I are going to go to a door, knock on it, or we'll go to some festivals and partake. All right, Jesus. We're going to go there. You're going to ask him trick or treat. And if they do not give us candy, you are going to do a trick on them. Should I call fire from heaven, Lord, like the apostle said? Now, Jesus, what do you think? You're going to do that? Jesus, where'd you go? Jesus? You know, with that little comical thing there, that he wouldn't be there. You know, we were made for his good pleasure. We were made to, you know, lift him up and to give him pleasure and to give him joy, and in turn he gives us that as well. That's the thing about Halloween. We're doing things that we don't understand that will oppress us in the walk. We struggle with so many things, and we wonder, if we are new creatures in Christ, why is it that we have not changed? Well, a lot of those things, because we're not asking the Lord, Lord, what's going on? Why is it that we haven't changed? There's a lot of oppression going on in our lives. And an application I want to give you. What is my daughter going to do? She's going to go to her grandparents' house and pass out Christian tracts. Like, what do we do? What should Christians do? And should they practice it? Yes and no. We practice it for the glory of God. Why can't we, as Christians, one day out of the year, put on the armor of God and fight the enemy? We have all these other days to rejoice, but why don't we fight for the Lord and fight the good fight of faith in any way possible? It's the one time when we can all partake in fighting the enemy in some way. Either at our houses or even go to certain festivals and proclaiming the gospel on your own and saying, hey, you know what this is really about? Celebrating Christ and doing that. She's going to be passing out tracts, Christian tracts and candy. And her desire is that one person would be saved. She understands now that it's better to give than to receive in the feeling that you get. Now, I want to leave you with a quick, and I know we're running a little bit, I just want to leave you with one scripture verse from 1 Corinthians 10, 16 to 23. Starting, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Everything is idolatry that exalts itself before the Lord that we put into our lives. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is nothing, or what is offered to idols is nothing. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? And today is Communion Sunday. And what I want us to ask the Lord individually is, how are we pleasing Him? How are we acknowledging Him? And in our minds, and saying like David, the Lord examine me. Is there any unpleasing way in me? Not only in Halloween, but everything else that hinders our walk with Christ. So we should ask ourselves that, what is hindering our walk? Lord, how can I please you? As the communion is passed out, are they still out there or not? Okay, you can bring them in. Gentlemen, you can step forward now so we can start passing out the communion. The music is going to be a little delayed. They might have fell asleep. They're not feeling too good.